All right. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Gentle Healing Year 3. I just want to reiterate, so it's on the recording, as Don said, next Tuesday night is Christmas Eve. So we're not going to meet on Christmas Eve. The sanctuary is closed. So we're actually going to have Gentle Healing on Monday night. So that would be Monday, December 23rd. We'll do it the following week as well, instead of meeting here on New Year's Eve. Because the sanctuary is closed, we're going to meet on December 30th, Monday night. So for the next 2 weeks, we're meeting at Monday, instead of on Tuesday, and we're meeting at the regular time that we usually meet. So just come in a night early, and then once we hit 2020, we'll be back to our regular Tuesday schedule. Any questions about that? All right, then. Welcome, welcome, everybody. It's good to see you. I just rushed into La Vida and rushed into my chair. I had a couple of saltines to hold me over until afterwards. So before I jump in, is there anything that any of you would like to share with me that's come out of the last week of your contemplations? Okay, Ron.
Well, I had the wonderful opportunity to do some contemplating at the retreat house last week at the Freedom from the Ego. I guess that was the theme of the retreat. And I guess what I wanted to share is if and when this ever comes back up again, go and attend. It was amazing. I can't tell you how amazing it was from a how-to perspective. To really, you know, the challenge with this is that I think all of us get this intellectually. It's taking it from the intellect and actually getting it to where it changes how we act in the world, and we can see the results of that by actually feeling happy, living that happy dream. It really kind of peeled back layer by layer why it is most of us end up being blocked from being able to do that and how to approach unblocking that from a to-do standpoint. And there were a couple alternatives, but it was just absolutely phenomenal. So Regina, you got to put back on the agenda sometime soon, and if it is, I just highly recommend you attend. It's probably the most impactful thing I've ever attended, so I just want to share that.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ron. Yeah, that was the Freedom from the Ego retreat, and right now it's not on the schedule for 2020, but we'll see what happens. Anybody else have anything to share? All right, then, that means I get to take the lead, but as you guys know how this game works. I lead, but you guys are allowed to jump in at any time if I should happen to say something that brings something up in you to speak. Please go ahead and speak, because I like hearing your voices a whole lot more than I like hearing mine. So let's see what I have saved for us. So the first thing I have is, quote, you guys are in the 1000s though. How cool is that? It took me about 5 years to get as far as you guys have in less than a year. I really want to compliment those of you who are sticking with this. I'm actually very impressed with you. So we're at 1012. When this illusory division is not seen for what it is, there is the arising of the false egotism. But when the mind inquires into its own nature, this division disappears. There is realization of the one infinite consciousness, and one attains great bliss. So what I wanted to share about this particular quote, obviously, the false egotism here is the sense of I. me separate from everything that I see. You know, like I'm in my bedroom right now, so it would kind of go like this. I am not that bed. I am not those pillows. I am not that jacket. I am not that heater, right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not all those people that are sitting there looking at me, right? That's the false egotism, that sense of I. So what this says, when this illusory division is not seen for what it is, there is the arising of the false egotism. So what it is illusory division. When illusory division is not seen as illusory division, then this sense of I arises. So what I wanted to do was just look at this with you all for a moment, because again, if you look around wherever you are at, you could also name off several things that you see. Like I see a table, a lamp, a painting, window shades, another lamp, right? A book. And I know that you can look around where you're at and you can name off several things too. But I'd like you to just look at the room you're in a little differently for a moment. For example, if you're looking at a photograph, and we've done this before, so this might sound familiar. If you're looking at a photograph, what you see is one photograph. Like if I show you a photo, I don't have, like I said, I just ran in here and sat down real quick. Hold on, there's my phone. I might be able to get it so I can do this a little better. I hope you guys don't fall on the floor because you're just balancing on a footstool. I reach over here for my phone. Oh, good, you didn't fall on the floor. Good job. Good job, because the footstool is smaller than the base of this thing that I'm using to put my laptop on. All right, so let me just pick out a photo. Here's a photo. I'll show you guys that photo. Now that is one photograph, right? If you want to, you can pick it apart. You see weeds, rocks, trees, mountains, a person, although you can't tell who that person is. You see a person, right? But what you really see is one photograph, right? It's just one photograph. What broke that photograph up into, you know, weeds in the foreground, a rock in the background, trees behind the rock, mountains, oh, sky, person, was the mind. The mind was able to label all those things and tell you what you're looking at. Well, the same thing is happening in the room that you're in. If you notice, awareness isn't, or not even the eyes, even the eyes aren't separating. To the eyes, this is one sight. Whatever's in front of you is one sight. And it's the mind that begins to label car keys, stack of papers, quilt, right? So if I bring you back to the quote, when this illusory division is not seen for what it is, which is an illusory division, or even more specifically, it's a mental division. When this illusory division is not seen for what it is, there is the arising of false egotism. In other words, the sense of I comes from the mind's ability to say chair, lamp, painting, window shades, me. When this illusory division is not seen for what it is, which is illusory or mental division, there is the arising of the false egotism. But when the mind inquires into its own nature, this division disappears. And there are a lot of ways that you can practice self-inquiry. Obviously, one of the common ways that we've learned is what am I or who am I? But I like to play games, which you guys are now well aware of. The secret is out. And one of the games that I like to play when I'm looking at the room or looking at, you know, if I'm outside at the scene outside, One of the games I like to play is, can I separate this from awareness? Right? So I, instead of saying that there's the bed, there's the pillow, there's the table, there's the lamp, which is the mind's illusory division, I look at the bed, which the mind would define as something separate, and I also notice the pillows on the bed, and I let myself notice the table next to the bed, and I let myself notice the lamp on the table, and I ask, is any of this separate from awareness? Can I separate any of this separate from awareness? Can I cut any part of this out of awareness? Can I separate myself from awareness? Is there anything that is not a part of awareness? And I just ask myself these questions, which helps to take away that illusory division and begin to notice that everything is at least in awareness. And at some point, you begin to see that everything is made up of awareness. But at least begin to see that everything is in awareness and that awareness does not put any dividing lines. You can even ask, what says that's a bed, you know, and that's a table? Is that awareness or is that mind? You know, and does awareness separate these things or is awareness just aware of them? And just kind of play with questions and look around and see if you can begin to sense that this division that we're so accustomed to, that we were taught as babies, if this division is actually real or purely mental. When this illusory division is not seen for what it is, there is the arising of the false egotism. But when the mind inquires into its own nature, this division disappears. There is realization of the one infinite consciousness, and one attains great bliss. Would any of you like to share after that sharing? Okay. I don't see anybody sharing, so I will go on to the next item on my list, which is a 10:14. Abandon your imperfect vision, which is not based on fact. And you know, that kind of connects pretty well to what we just looked at. If my imperfect vision is believing the mind's divisions, right? Then my imperfect vision is not based on fact. Abandon your imperfect vision, which is not based on fact. Rest in the perfect vision, which is of the nature of bliss and which is based on truth. What we're going to do is go and look at the RDA journal. So let me share my screen. That was 10, I already forgot the number. And I only want to look at 10:14A. Oh yeah, I remember why I wanted to look at this. Use intentional mind to undo mind. Simultaneously, do not trust mind that isn't intentional mind. Consider all mind except intentional mind to be malice mind. Do not believe it. Do not listen to it. Do not follow it. It will only get you into trouble. In fact, you do well to do the opposite of what malice mind recommends. In doing the opposite, you take a stand. You say, I will not listen to you. I know you are a liar, and I do not trust you. It's important to take this stand because you've honored malice mind as if it was wisdom. Now you must turn and walk in a different direction. Walk away from malice. Walk toward intention. Walk intentionally toward awakening. So really now, especially since I taught the Freedom from the Ego retreat, I see the best way to talk about this is in the language of last week's retreat. So let me start first by telling you that we had a model of consciousness up on the flip chart there that we referred to. And in that model of consciousness, there were different levels of consciousness. To simplify it, I will say we had consciousness, subconscious, and superconscious. Consciousness, which is, you know, where your awareness is right now. Consciousness is just this. I mean, you know, you're conscious, you're not unconscious. Do you agree? You're conscious of whatever you're hearing. You're conscious of whatever you're seeing. That is consciousness. But the interesting thing about consciousness, and I know you all have heard this before, is that consciousness is basically empty. In fact, you've often heard that consciousness is empty and things arise in consciousness. Well, one thing that happens in consciousness, the primary purpose of consciousness is to make choices or to make decisions. But that which we make decisions about comes from one of the other two levels of consciousness. It can come from the subconscious, which is what A Course in Miracles calls the wrong mind. And the subconscious is made up of a lot of repressed beliefs, thoughts, experiences, emotions. Or that which we choose from can come from the superconscious, and that's what A Course in Miracles calls the right mind. You might think of that as Holy Spirit's thoughts. A moment ago, just before we started, Don referred to it as God thought, right? So basically what happens is thought or perceptions arise into consciousness from the subconscious and from the superconscious. And what you do in consciousness is you make choices. There are two ways to make choices in consciousness. One is, believe it or not, unconsciously. This is called being asleep. You know, if a thought rises up in my mind, oh my God, they're not listening to me, right? And I just blindly believe that thought and say, that's it, guys. I'm not coming back here anymore. You're wasting my time. I could be out there eating dinner. And instead, I'm sitting here wasting my time with you, right? I unconsciously made that choice. A thought arose from the subconscious. They're not listening to me. It's really arising from the repressed, I am bad thought. I didn't examine that thought. I didn't evaluate that thought at all. I just believed it. Now I'm mad at every one of you guys. I quit Gentle Healing. I am never coming back. I'm just going to go out there and sit with mom and eat supper. Right? Watch The Voice. That's an unconscious choice that happened in consciousness. Or we can make conscious choices. And a conscious choice, the way a conscious choice would happen is that this thought rises up. They're not listening to me. I glance at that thought. You know, I could do several things. I could notice I don't know if it's true or not. I could notice it's coming from the I am bad belief. I could notice that I could even say I'm not really here for them. I'm here to teach this to myself. Right, but I could evaluate the thought. I could determine if it has any real value for me, and if not, let it go. That is a conscious choice. And obviously, most humans choose unconsciously in consciousness, right? Thoughts come up, they believe them. Thoughts come up, they believe them. Well, when thoughts come up from the subconscious, one of the things we learned about last week, and I don't remember the exact number, Ron, you might remember better than me, it was something like 70 to 75% of the subconscious is negative, right? Think about that. 70 to 75% that comes out of that subconscious is negative. And so if you're unconsciously believing those thoughts, 70, 75% of what you're believing is negative. That's why this journal entry, which was written before the Freedom from the Ego retreat was written, but it has the same ideas, that's why it refers to the subconscious as malice mind. Because most of what comes out of the subconscious just causes malice. And what it's suggesting is to use consciousness consciously, which is calling intentional mind. Use consciousness consciously to choose from what arises into consciousness, to choose whether we're going to believe it, act from it, etc. So let's look at this journal entry a little slower now. Use intentional mind to undo mind. And this would really be to undo that subconscious, is really what this is referring to. A part of the subconscious is the I am bad belief. Another part of the subconscious is just fear in general. And another part of the subconscious is the belief that I am a separate person. We call this the belief in separation. So use intentional mind, in other words, consciously make choices in consciousness to undo mind. Simultaneously, do not trust mind that isn't intentional mind. So what that means is, briefly, don't trust any thought you haven't examined. You know, so if the thought comes up, they're all bored, they're not listening to me anyway. Most people, when a thought like that comes up, just automatically trusts or believes the thought without any evaluation whatsoever. This is saying do not trust thoughts unless you have intentionally looked at them and decided they're worth your trust or worth your belief. So do not trust mind that isn't intentional mind. Consider all mind except intentional mind to be malice mind. In other words, the only mind that you can just blindly trust is consciousness itself. Now the challenge is things arise in consciousness, but if you remember that consciousness is empty, then you know that the only thing that you can really trust is emptiness. Anything that arises in that emptiness needs to be examined before it's trusted. So consider all mind except intentional mind to be malice mind. Do not believe it. Do not listen to it. Do not follow it. It will only get you into trouble. And if we use the... go ahead, Ron.
One thing that helped me in this discussion last week was you say consciousness is empty and things arise in consciousness. Is, at least for me, I made a delineation that it was my local consciousness. Because here we're talking about different kind of levels of consciousness, and it's my local consciousness. And that's what I have the ability to make a choice about. So it rises in my local consciousness, is otherwise empty, and when the thought arises that is either the unconscious thought that just kind of quickly goes through, or it's one that I'm able to catch and to sit with and make a conscious choice about, that's my local consciousness.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Ron. Yeah. And so if I follow the example then that I made up, hopefully, about you guys all being bored, not listening to me anyway, notice this says, do not believe it, do not listen to it, do not follow it, it will only get you into trouble. Well, if I believe that thought, you know, that you guys are not listening to me anyway, and I say, to heck with it, I'm done with this gentle healing thing, you know, I'm not coming back, you guys are never going to see me again, you know, that kind of is getting me into trouble, right? That's getting in the way of my awakening. That's going to add grievances to my experience. I now have judgments and grievances against all of you all. I might even, you know, continuing to follow those thoughts just a couple more months, I might even leave awakening together altogether, which means the ego gets to win. Because I have now cut myself off from all of you because I believed a malice thought in my mind and took it to the end and then just walked away from awakening together. So that's what this is saying. Do not believe these thoughts that arise from your subconscious. Do not listen to them. Do not follow them. They're only going to get you into trouble. And in fact, if you pay attention to all of the things that happen in the news, all of the negative things that happen in the news, and there's just a whole slew of them, they occur because people are believing these thoughts. They are listening to these thoughts. They are following these thoughts. And they're causing lots and lots of trouble in the world. So this journal entry goes on to say, in fact, you do well to do the opposite of what malice mind recommends, which means if malice mind recommends that I quit gentle healing and eventually quit teaching and awakening together altogether, well, what should I do? Somebody tell me, what should I do?
Question your thoughts.
Question your thoughts, but actually, and this even says do the opposite. So if malice mind is telling me to quit, I stay. If malice mind is saying drop that gentle healing, I keep teaching gentle healing. If malice mind says quit teaching and awakening together altogether, I keep teaching and awakening together. If malice mind is saying walk away from awakening together, have nothing to do with those people ever again, I stay. You see, that's what this says. You do well to do the opposite of what malice mind recommends. In doing the opposite, you take a stand. You say, I will not listen to you. I know you are a liar, and I do not trust you. It's important to take this stand because you've honored malice mind as if it was wisdom. You know, and this idea that you guys are bored and not listening to me. I mean, if I really followed that, that might go all the way back to fifth grade or something when I thought some kids weren't paying attention to me, didn't respect my thoughts on the playground, right? We never played the games I wanted to play. I've been listening to this type of thought, and you guys all know the loop of experience, right? I think, therefore I see. I think nobody listens to me. Therefore, I perceive that nobody listens to me. I see, right, that nobody listens to me. And so I experience those emotions of being rejected or whatever it feels like for me of nobody listening to me. And because that's what happened, I think about it again, and the loop just continues, right? I think, therefore I see. What I think, I see. What I see, I experience. What I experience, I think. So at some point, in order to stop that loop of experience from repeating itself, we need to take a stand and say, I'm not listening to you anymore. Sure, I have a whole lifetime of experience coming and going of people not listening to me. They didn't listen to me in fifth grade. They didn't listen to me on that college research paper that we did together. They didn't listen to me at this workplace. My partner doesn't listen to me. And now people in Awakening Together aren't listening to me, right? I have a whole history of that. But I'm willing to trust that that whole perception just came from this malice mind. I'm willing to trust that I can see differently if I take a stand and choose not to believe, not to listen to, not to follow that malice mind anymore. So it's important to take this stand because you've honored malice mind as if it was wisdom for your whole life. Now you must turn and walk in a different direction. Walk away from malice. Walk intentionally toward awakening. And I'm just going to stop that share and see if anyone has anything they want to say based on that. Oh, and Shauna says she is listening. Yeah. Anybody else have anything to share? Yes, Tony.
Just a couple of days ago, I experienced this very, very deeply. I saw a picture, it was Sunday actually, of my mother-in-law and her three daughters and two of the grandchildren someplace on a holiday thing. And immediately the malice mind said, you weren't invited. And how rude and disrespectful they are to you. And once again, you're being left out. And I saw that malice mind wanting to be attack and feel sorry for itself. And it was kind of an awful experience, and it's a reoccurring theme. And but I was able to be still, and it took me actually that night and the next day to really start to realize that that was the malice mind wanting me to buy into the stories and identify with this person who is, like you had said in your past, rejectable. And so eventually it did pass, and I'm fine today, but it really did. I totally experienced that, and so I just wanted to let you know that it happens. So
yeah, thank you. That's a perfect example of malice mind. Thank you very much. And you know, what malice mind does is it destroys, right? that's what it does. That's why we call it malice mind. It destroys. It destroys relationships. It destroys goals. I mean, you know, malice mind can tell you you're not good enough to do whatever it is that you feel called to do, and at some point you quit trying, right? It just destroys. Yeah, it tears down and weakens, Linda is saying. So it's really important to learn not to listen to that mind. In fact, one of the words that was used to describe what it does, we watched some videos last week, and the word that was used to describe what it does in those videos was self-sabotage. Right? Self-sabotage. So, and you can see how with my made-up example about if I, you know, believed you guys weren't listening, I quit gentle healing, eventually I quit teaching altogether. Can you see how that's self-sabotage? Right? So when the quote says, abandon your imperfect vision, which is not based on fact, what we're talking about is these types of ideas. Nobody's listening to me. Nobody respects me. Nobody invited me, et cetera, right? That's the imperfect vision. Abandon your imperfect vision, which is not based on fact. And then it says, rest in the perfect vision, which is of the nature of bliss and which is based on truth. And I think it's interesting that it says rest in this vision. So even when you're doing what Tony just described, when Tony had this experience recently and then she rested away from those thoughts, in order to rest away from the thoughts that they don't want me, although I may not feel it, I'm actually resting in the perfect vision. Every time you practice rest, accept, and trust, you have enough of that perfect vision, even if it's only an inkling, to lead you to rest away from the imperfect vision. Does that make sense? If you didn't have at least an inkling of the perfect vision, you would just believe the imperfect one. You would just believe the malice thoughts. So whenever you choose to rest away, practice rest, accept, and trust, you are resting in the perfect vision. That's what's leading you to rest, even though that may not be your experience. That is your guide in that moment. Any questions or comments? They're not listening to me. Okay, then let's go look at 1016. Victory over this goblin known as mind is gained when, with the aid of one's own self-effort, one attains self-knowledge and abandons the craving for what the mind desires as pleasure. And let me share my screen again, because what I have is go look at the RDA journal. So let's go peek at that. Back to malice mind again. Malice mind only causes trouble. Yes, it promises happiness. It promises security, but it delivers trouble. Look at malice mind with detachment. Notice all the ways it attempts to suck you in. It doesn't care what you listen to. It merely craves your listening attention. Do not give it what it wants, and it shall die. When malice mind has ended, you see clearly what you are without it. Do not give attention to mind. Do give attention to awareness. This is the recipe for success. So we've already gone through my made-up example about if, you know, they're not listening to me and I eventually quit teaching. But notice this says that malice mind doesn't care what I listen to. It merely craves my listening attention. So the next thing that could happen, if I choose not to listen to the idea that you guys are not listening, the next thing that could happen is malice mind could arise and say, you guys think I'm the greatest thing there ever was. Right? Why are you laughing? Of course that's what they think, Don. They think I'm the best teacher ever. Why else would they come here week after week this late at night and sit and listen to me? They're listening to me because I am the best, right? Well, that's actually just another way of getting me into trouble. Arrogance. Do you guys agree? Arrogance will eventually get you into trouble. If I start talking from that arrogance about how great I am, eventually you guys will lose interest and you'll be the ones leaving Awakening Together. Either way, Awakening Together is destroyed. You know, so it's interesting to realize, and something we really need to pay attention to, that if we're wise enough to let go of one story, malice mind often comes in with a different story that will capture our attention. So this is why, again, the previous journal entry said not to trust anything that comes from malice mind. Yes, go ahead, Don.
Okay, so this begs a question that just popped into my head. Okay, with Byron Katie, there's always the turnaround. Like, nobody loves me. And then you get to the turnaround, everybody loves me. And she even jokes around and she says a cute little comment, everybody loves me here, they just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
So what would you say to that? Because that, what you said, is like the turnaround for the first thing. You know what I mean? It's kind of sort of a turnaround.
Yeah. It is a turnaround, but it depends on how you understand that turnaround. For example, if I say, you know, if I go from nobody's listening to me to everybody's listening to me when I'm doing inquiry, what I'm really doing is I'm looking to see how I feel when I say that statement. So what I might feel, for example, is nervousness. In fact, maybe one reason I want to believe nobody's listening to me is because it's scary to think that they are. You know, what if they're listening to me? And what if I say something wrong and all these people believe me, right? When I'm, you know, so when you do the turnaround, you're noticing how you feel about the turnaround. If I do a turnaround that has arrogance in it and I don't notice it has arrogance in it and I just believe it, I'm falling for just another attitude of malice mind. But usually when you're practicing inquiry, you have an attitude of probing. You're looking. And what I was talking about wasn't practicing inquiry. It was just the malice mind discovering I wasn't going to listen to this thought. So it sends up an opposite thought, you know, so it was still happening kind of without my awareness, without my looking. But if I do look, I might catch that thought. If I look, I might notice this is arrogance and therefore choose not to listen to it, right? Choose a more humble position. In fact, the humble position I might choose is I'm not the teacher anyway. I just show up. I let this come through me. I don't get any credit or blame. I just show up. Whatever I say is really for me. See, these are more humble statements. Does that answer your question, Don? Yeah.
I'm just curious, is that an arrogant statement she's making? Everybody loves
no.
me. I just don't know it yet.
No, I don't think it is, because when Byron Katie says everybody loves me, I don't think she's referring to the Byron Katie body. She's referring to the one self that she identifies with.
Oh, now I get it.
Yeah, yeah. everybody loves me, they just don't know it yet, is what she, you know, meaning the one self, the truth. Yeah. Yeah. So let's see this quote, victory over this goblin known as mind is gained with the aid of one's own self-effort. One attains self-knowledge and abandons the craving for what the mind desires as pleasure. So the way this was interpreted when I contemplated it, and I will say it's not the only interpretation, because obviously we could say what the mind desires as pleasure is food, television, hiking, sex, right? But when I read this, the way that Inner Wisdom interpreted it for me is what the mind really desires as pleasure is your attention. More than anything else, it wants your attention. And it will do anything it can to get your attention. So you have to apply the self-effort of discernment to make sure that you aren't falling for that. When you don't fall for one trick, you have to continue to practice discernment to make sure you don't fall for the next trick, because there will be a next trick, right? And then continue to practice discernment to make sure you don't fall for the next trick. So that was the interpretation that was given to me, I'm sure, because that was what was most helpful, right? Again, any comments or questions? All right, let's see what I have here next. 1018. Oh boy, this is a big one. All right, so mind constantly swings like a pendulum between the reality and the appearance, between consciousness and inertness. So using what we've already talked about tonight, when I mentioned consciousness before, I said consciousness is where choosing happens. That consciousness can choose in one of two ways. It can choose consciously. Consciousness can choose consciously, which I called intentional mind a while ago. Or consciousness can choose unconsciously, which means it just believes whatever arises. So what this is saying is that mind can choose consciously or not, but it's the unconscious choosing is calling inertness, right? Mind constantly swings like a pendulum between the reality and the appearance, between consciousness and inertness. When the mind contemplates the inert objects for a considerable time, it assumes the characteristics of such inertness. So, again, I'm talking about thought, and one of the things we learned last week, and we also learned at the weekly gathering when Jacqueline read from NTI Luke 12, is when we think we're focused on the world, what we're really focused on is thought. So like I think I'm focused on the world when I'm focused on the thought that you guys aren't listening to me, that you're bored stiff with me, right? I think I'm focused on the world. I think I'm focused on you. But what I'm really focused on is my thought about what these eyes see. So when the mind contemplates the inert objects for a considerable time, when I contemplate these subconscious thoughts for a considerable time, the mind assumes the characteristic of such inertness, right? I am going to, you could say, become that thought in action, and in words, which again is why I'm going to quit teaching gentle healing and eventually quit teaching at Awakening Together altogether. Or if you are my romantic partner and I think you don't listen to me, and I continue to contemplate how you never listen to me, you don't give me any attention whatsoever, et cetera, et cetera. Eventually, we may get a divorce, right? It ends our relationship. If we have children, the children now experience a split family instead of a joined family. So I become whatever I contemplate. I become it in my action, and I become it in my words. So when the mind contemplates the inert objects for a considerable time, it assumes the characteristic of such inertness. But listen to this next sentence. When the same mind is devoted to inquiry and wisdom, it shakes off all conditioning and returns to its original nature as pure consciousness. Mind takes the very form of that which one contemplates, whether it is natural or cultivated, which cultivated would be the stuff that we believe and make up. So it's kind of interesting to think about the fact, if you really look at it, my mind is going to contemplate. That's what mind does. I'm either going to contemplate how none of you guys like me, none of you guys listen to me, none of you guys respect me, my partner doesn't listen to me, my partner doesn't respect me, and then I'm going to act from that, or I'm going to use the mind's natural contemplative power to contemplate truth. Either way, I'm going to be contemplating. And I'm going to become whatever I contemplate. I will either become these thoughts, nobody likes me, nobody listens to me, or I will become the manifestation of truth in the world. Depending on what I let my mind contemplate. Mind takes the very form of that which one contemplates, whether it is natural or cultivated. Therefore, resolutely but intelligently contemplate the state beyond sorrow, free from all doubts. Again, this is asking us to consciously choose what we're going to contemplate. Right? Because one thing that's for sure, and you don't have a choice over this, you're going to become whatever you contemplate. So make a choice about where you let your mind dwell. Make a choice about what you contemplate. Therefore, resolutely but intelligently contemplate the state beyond sorrow, free from all doubts. The mind is capable of retraining itself. There indeed is no other way. So if your mind is in the habit of contemplating whatever, nobody likes me, nobody listens to me, or even I'm better than everyone else, they'll never be as good as me, right? If your mind is in the habit of contemplating these things, retrain it, right? Retrain it. It says that's perfectly capable. In fact, there's no other way. If you don't make the self-effort to retrain the mind, you're going to stay stuck in those habits of contemplation that you already have. So retrain it. Make a conscious decision that every time you catch yourself contemplating something negative, something from malice mind, you're going to switch over and begin contemplating truth in some way. By practicing inquiry, by contemplating what you wrote from the seven steps this morning, right? But in some way, you're going to shift. And if every time you catch yourself contemplating something negative, right? It could be like an attack, it could be just an attack defense game in the mind, you know, where you're having a conversation with yourself, where your boss is telling you that you didn't do a good job this year, therefore you will not be getting a raise the new year. This is going on in your mind. You know, and then you're defending yourself. I did do a good job. I did this and I did this. And then your boss says this, and then you notice, right? You notice you're having this conversation. Shift over. practice inquiry, pull out what you wrote from Seven Steps this morning, read that over again, and this is how you retrain the mind. And again, this quote ends, "The mind is capable of retraining itself. There is indeed no other way." Any comments or questions? Yes, Ron.
Would it be accurate to use the term attention and contemplation, what you're contemplating, synonymously?
Yes, absolutely. Whatever your attention is landing on is what you're contemplating. That is synonymous. Yeah. And I think probably if we really pay attention to what our mind is contemplating throughout the day, it might even be a little bit scary. And I know I've told you guys this before. I certainly told them in Freedom from the Ego last week. But I had an assignment once from Holy Spirit. And that assignment was just to carry a small notebook around. And like I said, this was before we had these phones. So now you could actually use your phone. Back then it was a notebook about this size. And I was asked every time I caught my mind just lost in thought to write down what I was thinking about. And I was told to do this for 3 days. So for 3 days, I carried my little notebook around, and every time I caught myself lost in thought, I wrote down what I was thinking about. What was the story in the mind at the time? After 3 days, I was told to go back and determine the content of the story. For example, was I blaming someone in my mind? Was this a blame story? Was in my mind somebody attacking me and me defending myself? Was I having unworthy thoughts about myself or unworthy thoughts about another person? Was I worrying? Was it fear? And just write down the content. Every single time for 3 days, every single time I was lost in thought, the content was negative. It was like a diet of unworthiness, attack, defense, judgment, blame, worry. This is all that was going on every time I was lost in thought. And then again, we contemplate this stuff and then we act from it. That's why one day when the husband walks in the door and, you know, he just wasn't even thinking about us. He's come home from work. He walks in the door and he says something and rah, 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 because we've been walking around carrot in our head for a week or a month or a year or 10 years. And today's the day it came out. You know, we became what we've been contemplating. Right? That's what happens. So a part of what you want to do is ask, what do I want to become? Make that conscious decision first, and then make sure you're placing the attention with the seeds that will help you to become that, and don't place your attention with different seeds. Right? And with that, we are out of time. So remember, next week, same time, different day. Because nobody wants to be here on Christmas Eve, right? Monday night next week, okay? So put that in your calendar, and I'll see you guys on Monday night. Thank you for at least pretending to listen to me. Bye.